today, I wonder if some kids will join me up front. I have candy canes. No, I don't bribe kids to come up. Hopefully they just want to. Come on up. Hey, Riley. Do you want to hand these out? So today in our message, we are going to talk about things God wants us to do. And in the Bible, in what we call the Beatitudes, Jesus asks us to be peacemakers. And the peacemakers will be children of God. And who knows what conflict means? You don't know? You don't know anything? Okay. Bennett, tell us what conflict is. It's like an argument. It could be fighting, right? So what is peace?
Happy.
Peace is happy. What else is it? Not fighting.
Calm.
Oh, calm's a good word, too. So peace is kind of the opposite of conflict. So Jesus wants us to be peacemakers. So we're going to talk about that for just a minute. I'm going to give you a situation, and you tell me if you're being if you're bringing peace into that situation or if you're bringing conflict, okay? So the first one is a bunch of boys are out on the basketball court playing basketball, and they're having fun. And two of the boys get into a fight, and they are really fighting. And you say, punch him in the face, give him a black eye. Are you bringing conflict to that situation or peace?
Conflict.
Okay. So let's have another situation. You are walking down the sidewalk, and you see a little girl who is just crying and crying and crying. And you walk up to the little girl and you say, why are you crying? And she said, my cat has ran away and I don't know where my cat is. And so you say, can I pray for you that you can find your cat? Can I pray to God about that? Are you bringing peace or conflict?
Peace.
Peace. Okay. So let's say you're sitting with a bunch of kids, a bunch of your friends, and you're having lunch. And you're having lunch, and some of the kids start talking about another kid, and they're talking about how this other kid might be not smart and doesn't wear the right clothes, and he's kind of embarrassing. And you say, hey, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about what we're going to do after lunch. Are you bringing peace or conflict to that situation?
Peace.
See, you have a lot of power in your life to bring peace or conflict to a situation. And so this week, I want you to practice that because you guys all had great answers. You know what bringing peace to a situation is. So you try it. God will give you a good way to bring peace to a situation. Thank you so much for coming up to see me. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that is with us and those that are listening online. Dear God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit touch our hearts and let us hear from your word today and come away with something that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. So my message today is, Are You Salty? It's kind of a strange title. But Jesus actually calls us to be salt. And in Matthew 5, he says, You are the salt of the earth. But what does that really mean? I mean, are we just supposed to add flavor to life? Is that what we're supposed to do, just give a Jesus flavoring? I mean, some people actually use the word salty as in a negative thing. Like if you said, oh, that man, he's a little salty. I mean, you might be implying that maybe he's bitter or he has a bad attitude. And today, I want you to be patient with me. I'm going to talk about five things that are maybe a little random. And we're just going to talk about five different things. But then in the end, my goal is to bring all of that together. And so it speaks to us about being salt. So today I'm wearing a pastor's stole. I very seldom wear this. It was given to me as a gift at my ordination ceremony. But ordained ministers and priests and bishops, they wear a pastoral stole during Christian services to signify their role as a servant of God. It acts as a symbolic yoke of Christ. It can change colors with the church's season, like Christmas, Easter, Advent, Lent. People who wear them, they'll change and it'll be a different color. But does this stole make me your pastor? Does it write my sermons? No, not at all. After last week's sermon, which was about cursing, curses, we all prayed this prayer of release from curses, and a young person came up and told me, I felt, after we prayed that, I felt like a curse was released from me. Oh, come on, that deserves an amen. God is good. And did I write that sermon because I knew that that young man needed to hear those words? No, actually, I didn't. I didn't have him in mind when I wrote that. And someone else said after that sermon, after we had a confidential discussion, did you write that sermon with me in mind? And I said, absolutely not. That's not the way sermon writing works, as far as I know. For me, I do a lot of prayer to prepare for a sermon, and I want to speak about what God wants me to speak about. And so during my prayer, I wait for thoughts or ideas that might come from God so that I can write that. And then next comes a time of research. And I have to determine whether these thoughts and ideas that I had, whether they line up with the Word of God. And if they don't, I can't preach that, right? We are under obligation to preach the truth, and it has to line up with the Word of God. And so sometimes I have to say, okay, this isn't the right sermon. Or sometimes at the last moment, God changes my sermon. Pastor Al, has that happened to you? You think you're going to preach on something, and then God says, no, you're not. And that's okay, too. And then I have to practice my delivery, because I have to be able to preach in a way that you can stand to listen to it and that you don't fire me, right? So there's a little practicing that goes involved. But then during church, something else happens. The Holy Spirit takes some divine thoughts and scripture and my words, and the Holy Spirit can move that in your heart if your heart is open to receive what the Holy Spirit wants you to receive. So what that means is the same message could affect different people in different ways. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So with this formula, every time I preach, it should be a home run, right? No, that's not true either. You know, did I spend enough time with the Word? Did I spend enough time with God and to hear what He wanted me to talk about? How many times did I get distracted or even let my own insecurities prevent me from doing this? And so I need grace just like everyone else needs grace. I'm not always going to do this perfectly, right? The stool is not something magical. It doesn't make me a pastor. If anything, it's just a symbol of an oath that I took with God. So now, I want to talk about this jacket. This jacket is from when I served as a police chaplain. It has the word chaplain in big letters. Or even in the front, it has in small letters. And that is so that you would not confuse me as a police officer on a scene. I have had absolutely no training in law enforcement. But I did have training as a chaplain. And they tell us that as a chaplain, we are to bring the spirit of peace into a chaotic situation. So that means I would go on calls with police officers, and sometimes their job is really hard, and there are bad things that happen. And the chaplain stands there and prays for the spirit of peace to flood that situation. And we use the word spirit of peace because a chaplain, they minister to everyone. But really, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's don't sugarcoat it. That's what we're really talking about, even though that's not the words they would necessarily use. And our instructor liked to tell us, you can bring the spirit of peace, and sometimes you might use words, meaning not always will you even use words to do that. Now, sometimes you need to comfort those who need comfort, and so there are words involved. But the jacket has nothing to do with what is happening and the power that can happen in a situation. It is not the jacket. It's your relationship with God and your belief that the Holy Spirit can flood that situation and make a difference, right? And so I want you to keep in mind what a chaplain does, and we're going to circle back around to that a little later in the sermon. And my third random item, or semi-random item that I want to talk about and then make this all work together later, is salt. And in Leviticus 2:13, it says this, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Now you see, God had a covenant with the Israelites. And this grain offering, it was specifically to express their gratitude to God. So in this example, salt is not there for flavor, it's representing permanence. Because salt preserves and keeps things from becoming rotten, right? And God is faithful and eternal, and the grain offering with salt just reminds, it reminded the Israelites of God's provision to them. So number four of semi-random things. So I knew 2 weeks ago that I was going to do a sermon on salt, okay? And so a week ago Thursday, I was sitting here in the church office, and I was listening to an old sermon by Billy Graham. And his sermon was on salt. I actually didn't listen to the whole thing. I only listened to part of it. But The point that Billy Graham was making is that salt represents cleansing in the Bible. And he goes down this small rabbit hole in his sermon, and he's talking about that if you are cleansing, doing a spiritual cleansing of a house, you can use salt. And he was like, you can even pour salt in the bathroom when you are praying for peace of this house. And he actually mentioned putting salt in the toilet twice in the sermon. And I was thinking, well, that is rather strange. Okay. And so the very next evening, that is when I started to have all kinds of problems in my house. And Dan is in Nepal. And both of my dogs were throwing up. Okay. It wasn't pleasant. It's just what happened. And so next I needed to wash some blankets because of this problem. So I put blankets in the washer. And then the washer is flashing an error message. And it's not washing the blankets. And then I realized that the cold water line was frozen in both of my bathrooms. And my front door handle is broken. And is there a logical explanation for all of these things? Yes, of course there is. It was really, really cold. I mean, that didn't explain the dogs and but still, it was really, really cold. But when things go wrong, my first instinct is to pray about it. And even if it's a prayer of God, give me some wisdom and guidance of how to deal with these problems, okay? So I prayed first. Then I called the landlord. He came right over. He tried to fix all of these things, and he isn't able to fix any of them. And he just kept saying, this is so strange, because since this house has been remodeled, the water lines have never froze, even when it was colder than it is tonight, and he wasn't able to fix them. And so he said he'd come back the next day. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go to bed. And so I'm laying there, and God kept bringing back that sermon about salt in my mind. And finally, I just get up, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to pray with salt, I am just going to go pray with salt. So I took salt, and I went in the bathroom, and I prayed again, and then I went back to bed. And the next morning, everything was fixed except for the door handle. The door handle's still broken, but everything else was fixed. And so I'm telling this story to my husband, and how this involves salt, and I didn't completely understand that. And my husband said, well, that's not exactly quite right, because our prayers should just be our prayers. We don't have to add something to our prayers. And I understood what my husband was saying. And then I was thinking about that. I was thinking about James 5, and it says, to have the elders pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. And so we do that, right? I mean, here at our church, we have oil, and the sick can come up and be anointed by the elders, and we believe in that, right? But we have to realize is that the oil or the salt, they're not something magical. They represent something in the Bible. So the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so when the elders anoint someone for healing, and they use the oil, they're really believing in the Holy Spirit bringing that healing, right? And the salt is representing purity. And so when we're praying with salt to cleanse something, we're really believing in the purity of Jesus. And his blood was pure and was shed for us, right? So the last thing I want to bring up is the story of Elisha. Now, in the Bible, Elisha was a major prophet of the Old Testament. And he is known as being the successor of Elijah. His names are similar, but they're two different men. And Elisha, he performed many miracles, including healing, the raising of the dead, and the multiplying of food. And if you want to turn to 2 Kings Kings is pretty, it's not too far back. It's in the Old Testament. 2 Kings 2, we're going to start with verse 19. And it's going to tell us about Elisha's first miracle. One day, the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. "We have a problem. This town is well situated, which you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." And Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." And they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and he threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive." And the water remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken. So now it's time to start connecting some of the dots here, wrapping this up. So we've been talking about that salt adds flavor. It preserves food from rotting. But in the Bible, salt represents covenant and permanence and cleansing. And salt is a valuable mineral. When Jesus tells us to be salt, realize that Jesus himself represents salt. Jesus preserves life. He sustains life. He is faithful to his promises. So in Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can we be made salty again?" And in Mark 9, 49 and 50, it says, "Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourself and be at peace with others." So, as your pastor, how do I remain salty? I have to be in the Word. I have to be praying. I have to be obedient to what God is saying to me. I have to take that seriously. And that's how I'm going to keep my saltiness. And you are salt. And I think of you as chaplains. Maybe you don't have the chaplain coat, but you don't need the chaplain coat. You have something much more precious. You have the Holy Spirit. And you can stand in so many different situations in the world, in your families and in your work and with your friends. You can bring the spirit of peace. And your prayers can stand in the gap. And you can bring God's peace into chaos. You know, you could be at someone's family reunion and a big old family fight starts. You're the salt in that situation. And you can be praying immediately and help bringing peace. Your duty is to be salt and light. Your presence should uplift others, enhance, glorify your Heavenly Father. You are valuable. You don't need the coat. Have the Holy Spirit. And just as Elisha used the salt to purify the water, you can bring purity to a situation. How do we be salt to the world? We share the gospel just as Jesus' disciples did, so that God's grace and love can be experienced by others. Our mission is to help people so that they can see how God works in our lives and direct them to Jesus. You spread kindness to others through words, thoughts, and actions. And that shows God's goodness. And again, just like sometimes the chaplain brings peace, and only sometimes does he use words, our actions speak just as much as our words too, as well. And one thing that I noticed while I was studying this is that Jesus didn't say you could be the salt, you might be the salt, with a lot more training you'll be the salt. Jesus says you are the salt. And he's saying that to his followers. You just need to stay connected to God and hear his guidance and stay useful in his kingdom. And I pray that this week, God gives you so many opportunities to be the salt. You know, we talk about, Dan and I talk about a divine, what do we call it? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we call it a divine appointment. Sometimes we call it a divine interruption. And that means we happen to be at a certain place at a certain time, and there's someone there that God wants us to meet. And those opportunities you don't want to miss, because you never know where those opportunities are going to lead. So take the time to find out what God might be having for you in that situation. And just like we were talking about with the kids in children's church, they too are peacemakers in their own world. And we set that example. So, yeah, I just pray that you have many opportunities this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your patience with us and that you are guiding us and teaching us. Dear God, just help us this week to be mindful of how you might want us to be salt and light to people who don't know you. Thank you, dear God, for speaking to our hearts and showing us what we need to know and what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.